Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Demonic spirits are real, and they oppose the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today's passage describes how Paul dealt with demonic opposition. These demonic spirits are as active today as they were in the book of Acts, and believers still have power and authority over those demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 16 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of verses 14 through 24.
Acts 16, verses 14 through 24. And so in verse 14, we read, "Now we just left a prayer meeting last week." Not talking about last Wednesday. We just left a prayer meeting. And it is believed that the church in Philippi actually was born out of this prayer meeting. And that is simply a wonderful, wonderful thought, how God does plant and do wonderful works when the people of God determine to come together and pray. Be that as it may, notice it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." And so Lydia came from Thyatira, a city of the province of Asia, in the district of Lydia. Maybe she was named for that district. And you know from reading the book of Revelation chapter 2 that Thyatira is one of the seven churches that are addressed by the Lord Jesus. This woman was a successful, very successful businesswoman. She was a seller of purple, and Thyatira was famous for its expensive purple dyes. And she worshiped God, which means that at this point in time, she was a Jewish proselyte or one who had embraced Judaism. And so now Paul and Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke are with this area, in this area, and they're preaching the word of God. And notice that it says, "whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things that were spoken of by Paul. You and I are born again because of a supernatural work of God. It truly is an inside job, but it's a good inside job. It's a work of God. It's a supernatural work of God through the word of God. And here we find that this woman is now listening to what Paul and the others are saying. And the word she attended to, the things that were spoken of, speaks in conversational language. It's not so much in public preaching, just she was hearing what these men were sharing, no doubt sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. She attended to what was being said. She paid attention. She perked up. She listened. And to the point that the Holy Spirit opened her heart, she was convicted, she was born again. And you know, when people get saved, when individuals come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's never because of the wisdom or the persuasiveness of the preacher or the teacher. It's always a work of God. It's God who regenerates, not a man, never a man. Like it says in Zechariah 4:6, "it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." And yet, though salvation in one sense is a sovereign work of God, undoubtedly, it doesn't mean that Lydia or those who come to faith in Christ are passive, because she's listening to the word of God, she's attending to the word of God, and as she's listening and as she's attending to, the Lord is opening her heart to the point where she received Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So right there, according to the Lord Jesus, those who refuse to honor Jesus, while claiming to honor the Father, are self-deceived. Those who refuse to honor him while claiming to honor the Father are self-deceived. The Bible very clearly teaches that the Father and the Son are given equal honor. It's another proof of the deity of Christ, that he's equal with God. And that's something that is denied by every cult and every world religion, which we will talk about in just a few minutes. But notice in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You and I who have been born again, we have passed from death to life. Isn't that good news? We've passed from death to life. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been passed from death to life. When John wrote his first epistle, one of the proof texts that we have been born again is that you and I will have a love for others in the body of Christ. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death." I've had people tell me, "Well, I love Jesus, but I hate the church." Well, that's a contradiction. The Bible says we know that we have passed from death to life, not because we love Jesus, that's obvious, but because we love the brethren. Amen? Amen. Look around. We know that we have passed from death to life. He that loves not his brother still is abiding in death. And so now Lydia opens her house in verse 15, and she is baptized and her household. And then she insists that this mission team stay with her, and she shows them hospitality. Water baptism. She came to faith in Christ, and then she submitted to water baptism, which is a public sign of identification with Christ and with the body of Christ. Lydia publicly identified with Christ by being baptized. And it says that, she says, "If you have judged me faithful to the Lord," she constrained us. This woman wasn't going to take no for an answer. "You're going to stay with me whether you like it or not." That's it. And she has the gift of hospitality, which is one of the very, very most necessary and powerful expressions of faith in Christ. Notice in the word hospitality is the word hospital. You and I are patients. We're patients. And God is the great physician, is working on each and every one of us. And one of the most comforting and encouraging ways of being ministered to is in the hospital of a home. It should be the mark of every Christian believer. When Paul is describing the character of the Christian in Romans 12, he says in verse 13, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Just a desire to be hospitable. When Peter is exhorting the saints to walk in fervent love towards one another, he says in 1 Peter 4:9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." In other words, we practice hospitality when we generously and cordially and graciously open the doors of our homes to care for one another. That's how we learn how to nurture with one another and strengthen one another and serve one another. Now, I think one of the difficulties that we experience when we talk about hospitality, we tend to think in terms of Western hospitality as opposed to kingdom hospitality. You see, according to Western hospitality, some people think, "Well, I would be hospitable, but I don't have a 3,000-square-foot home, and I can't serve people a 5-course meal. I just live in a trailer." Yeah? Wherever you live, be given to hospitality without grudging. You see, that door should be open, willing to be opened by every one of us. That's how we connect with one another. That's why we how we minister to one another. That's why we have growth groups and home prayer studies, because that's a place where you can really grow in the Lord and grow in the grace of God. And Lydia now, she just opens up her home, and she welcomes in this ministry team. One of my prayers for us as a church family, that each one of us who call Koinonia Fellowship our home would, both personally and congregationally, we would be a hospitable congregation. That when people come, new people, we would greet them in the name of the Lord and seek to bless them in the name of the Lord and reach out to them in the name of the Lord. And so, notice now in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. A couple of things here. Notice, as soon as they determined to go to prayer, there was demonic opposition. Can any of you ever relate to that? A writer by the name of John Butler wrote these words. Satan knows that prayer is a mighty weapon against his kingdom. And if he can hinder the praying of the saints, he can hinder the work of the saints against his kingdom. Satan does not hinder the recreation programs, the suppers, the socials, the parties, and many other like programs at church, as he will hinder times of prayer. He is not bothered by a large attendance at church when it is for a supper or a banquet or a ball game. But if a large crowd comes to pray or desires to pray, he will endeavor to make a disturbance of some sort to hinder them either from praying or from coming. It's not a secret, but every church will tell you that the least attended meetings of every church are the prayer meetings. And yet the most important meetings of every church are the prayer meetings. Because that is where you and I connect with the Lord. That is where we lift up our voices to him and ask him to align our hearts with his heart and our will with his will. There's something about when a church determines to gather together for prayer. I know you guys pray. You have your personal prayer life, but there's something so powerful when men and women, older and younger, come together and just learn how to pray in the name of Jesus. This poor gal was being used as a source of income. She was possessed by demons. And the Greek Septuagint uses the Greek form for fortune telling that is translated divination. So she was engaging in demonic activity. The Bible strongly condemns Christians from engaging in this kind of demonic activity. The Bible strongly warns anybody from engaging in this kind of demonic activity. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, we read, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. We need to beware, beloved, of individuals who traffic in this kind of spirituality. And it's alive and well today on planet Earth. It's just as alive and well as it was back in the days of Moses and Deuteronomy. It's probably more lethal than the fact now with the internet, it can travel into every home, every cell phone, every iPad at the speed of internet. We are infested with demonic activity. We need to realize that, saints. Spirituality is very, very popular today. Spirituality, divination, fortune telling, witchcraft, black magic, tarot cards, sorcery, channeling departed spirits, astrology, palm reading, all of that and much more is alive and well on planet Earth today. And we're naive if we hide our heads in the sand and act like it isn't happening. There is demonic activity all over the world. There is demonic activity in the United States of America going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's today the 22nd. So in 9 days, there's going to be this holiday, Halloween. Boy, I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighborhood, there are some people that go all out. Ghosts, goblins, wizards, witches. I've never seen a cross. And the sad thing about it is that they've believed what the enemy wants them to believe. They believed that this is just a myth. It's just a fairy tale. They're not real. You know, Satan wears a red suit, a pitchfork, horns. No, not at all. They've believed the lie. They've swallowed the lie. And when people do not believe the truth of God, they will believe a lie. The truth of God is what? The truth of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan and his demons are no joke. When Lucifer fell from heaven, 1/3 of the angels fell with him. What do you think they're doing? They're not playing cards. What do you think their strategy is? To steal, kill, destroy, inhabit? That's what they do. Now, the good news is that 2/3 of the angels are the good guys. So we got them outnumbered. But the 1/3 are doing a pretty good job of sowing seeds of confusion and disturbances here on planet Earth. Just look at our nation. The murdering of babies in the wombs, the confusion and the popularity of gender identity, transgender identity, the trafficking of women for the sake of sexual pleasures or prostitution rings, that's demonic. All of that is demonic. The atrocities that happened in the Middle East, the way human beings were just doing what they were doing to other human beings, that's demonic. That's the height of depravity. And here is this woman. She's following the apostles around, and she's declaring the same things that they are. These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul, as we're going to see, was concerned that the people would associate the gospel of Jesus Christ with what a demonic power was saying. You see, that's what the enemy wants us to believe. Well, we're all one religion. No, we're not. We're all one faith. No, we're not. We all believe in the same Jesus. No, we don't. You know that, right? The Bible says, don't marvel in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan himself is also transformed into the angel of light. And the truth be told, beloved, some of the most effective and diabolical work of the devil is done in the name of religion or, sadly, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he will use a little truth of Scripture, take it out of context, to ensnare people in false religious systems or to draw them into demonic activity. And there's only one cure. There's only one. Thank God for the cure. The cure is Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you're struggling with some demonic stuff right now, you hang in there. And by the end of this service, my prayer is that you will be set free. Because when Jesus, before he ascended up into heaven, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. How much power? So how much does the devil have? None. You know what he has? His only weapon is a lie, and we have to believe it for it to work. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go. That's it. That's the marching orders for the church. In the name of Jesus, we go forth with the authority and power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's good news. Sadly, there are some people that think that when the last apostle died and the scriptures were completed, that there's no more demons, no more supernatural work of God. That's the doctrine of the Sadducees. That's not the doctrine of the Bible. Now, this gal, who is just a pawn being used by the devil, she, for many days, she followed them around for many days. And when it says that she cried, when it says that she cried, it means that she constantly cried. She constantly was mimicking the words of the apostles to the point where Paul in verse 18 got grieved. He got annoyed. Ever get annoyed?
No.
No. Oh, I don't believe that. Annoyed. He became indignant, and he turned and said, notice, to the Spirit. Did you see that in verse 18? He doesn't say to the gale. He recognized demonic possession. He recognized it wasn't her. He recognized it was a demon speaking through her. So he spoke to the demon and says, I command. He didn't say, I suggest. I would highly advise. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. She came out. Praise God. Amen. Again, notice that Paul addressed the evil spirit. He spoke to the evil spirit. There are evil spirits on earth today. You know that? There are unclean spirits on earth today. There are demonic spirits on earth today. That's just the truth, beloved. That's just the truth of what the Bible says. Now, they were defeated on the cross, but they're still at large. One day they're finally going to be defeated, but they're still at large. And there's only one way to overcome demonic oppression or demonic possession. That's in the name of Jesus Christ. One way. One way. In heaven's pharmacy to overcome addiction, possession. The name of Jesus Christ. And I know that there are many of you like myself that have experienced the power of God to be set free from demonic powers. That's the only way. When Jesus was ministering on earth, it says in Matthew 8:16, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But notice, there was not only the healing of the physical body, there was deliverance to those who were possessed with devils. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, when they accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen? Hello? Good morning. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. We live in this world. We live on this earth for a purpose, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.